What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The Nahanni River twists through the Nahanni Valley in the northern region of Canada's Northwest Territories. Only accessible by river, plane, or foot, this secluded valley is magnificent to behold, but also very dark and mysterious. Which is why on this episode of Dark Mysteries, we're going to dig into why this picturesque location of natural beauty is known as the Valley of the Headless Men. Over the last 10,000 years, every native tribe that has tried to settle the Nahanni Valley has either fled, claiming the area was haunted, or vanished entirely. The Naha people, an inherently violent tribe, settled the Nahanni Valley despite the rumors of something ancient and evil dwelling there. During frequent raids outside of the valley, they were known to claim the heads of their victims. Their blood-soaked legacy came to an abrupt end when the entire tribe inexplicably disappeared. No trace was ever discovered. We can be certain that with all of its infamy, the valley would remain devoid of human civilization and settlement if it weren't for one thing. The fact that the river that runs through it was filled with gold. So 1904 rolls around, and three brothers from Edmonton, Alberta, Willie, Frank, and Charlie McLeod, decide they're going to hike into the Nahanni Valley in search of gold. They made their way up the long and winding flat river and finally found a spot on the riverbank to pull over and set up camp. Once they were set up, they wasted no time sluicing for gold. Sluicing is the method of using running water to break down gold-bearing earth. Anyways, so they're sluicing away, and they actually find a good amount of gold. Enough for them to say, hey, we're good, let's go home. So that's what they do. They pack up their things, climb back into their boat, and start heading back down the flat river. Unfortunately, they hit a rock and the boat capsizes. They were able to recover some of their supplies, but not all of it, including the gold. They lost everything that they had found. They managed to pull their boat out of the river along with the few supplies that they had recovered and decided that they'd repair the boat and head back up to the spot where they had originally found the gold and continue searching. They did this, but were unsuccessful. So depressed and dejected, they ended up going back home empty-handed. So they're back home, but they're not back for long before Willie and Frank start talking about going back up and trying again. They tried to convince Charlie to join them, but the oldest brother wasn't willing to make the trek back up. So the two younger brothers ended up recruiting a Scotsman by the name of Robert Weir. The trio make the journey back up into the Nahanni Valley, and nobody hears from them for a few weeks. Charlie's not worried about this because he knows that prospecting takes time, and the longer it takes, the more likely it is that they're actually finding something and having some luck. So he thinks nothing of it. But 2 full years go by before Charlie really starts to worry and decides to put together a search party. Charlie and his party head back up the Flat River and head to the area where they originally found the gold. Eventually, they see a tent on the riverbank, but right away, they realize that something's not right. As soon as they approach the tent, they notice a body lying on the ground. The body has been charred, and it's missing a head. They also notice that the body is reaching out for something, and when they look in the direction that the arm is reaching, they see a rifle leaning against a tree just out of reach. Around the backside of the tent, they find another body, covered in a sleeping bag, also missing its head. The two bodies were identified as Frank and Willie McLeod. The body of Robert Weir was nowhere to be found. Both bodies had personal effects and their belongings still in their pocket. A partial skeleton was found a mile or so down the stream, and that was assumed to be the body of Robert Weir, but it was never officially identified. The police investigated the scene and determined that the two had likely starved to death and their heads were taken away by an animal. After word of the incident got out, locals began calling the valley the Headless Valley. In 1913, gold prospector named Martin Jorgensen decides that he's going to try his hand at finding gold in the Nahanni Valley. So he makes camp about 70 miles north of where the McLeod's camp was, and he builds a cabin because he plans on staying a while. Martin Jorgensen finds a lot of gold. So much so that he invites his brothers to come up and help find more and share the wealth. The Jorgensen brothers receive his letter and enthusiastically prepare to come join him. So they load up and they head to the area where Martin said they could find him. And they find his cabin torched. Inside was Martin's headless body. There was no gold anywhere in Martin's camp, despite the letters claiming there was. Police showed up and determined that he died of starvation and animals took off with his head. 1921, gold prospector John O'Brien and his partner decide they're going to travel into Nahanni Valley to try and find gold. They set up camp not far from where the first victims were decapitated. They don't have any immediate luck trying to find gold, so John decides he's going to hike further up the river and says to his partner that he'll be back in 8 days. 8 days go by, and then a few more, and John's partner starts to worry. So he goes and finds another prospector in the area and recruits him to go help find John. They head up the river, and after not long, they find John, frozen to death, sitting by what appeared to have been a campfire. His head was still intact, but the position of his body, hunched over by the fire like he was just hanging out, suggested he must have died so suddenly and unexpectedly, possibly in a flash freeze. In 1926, a hunting party traversed into the Nahanni Valley, including a woman named Annie Rafferty. After a night around the fire, they woke up and found that Annie was missing. The hunting party turned into a search party, and they went out looking for her, but were unsuccessful. So they reported her disappearance to the local police, who also went out to search for her, but were also unsuccessful. Several months later, a man who had been in the area around the same time as the hunting party heard about the missing woman and came forward with some interesting information. He said that he was in the same area that the woman went missing and had heard the hunting party. The night of Annie's disappearance, he had heard a strange noise like rocks tumbling down a hill and falling into a river. When he looked in the direction of the noise, he saw a white naked woman climbing on all fours up the side of a hill, knocking rocks into the river. When she turned in his direction, he said that the look on her face was so disturbing, so wrong, like she was possessed by something. It frightened him, and he ran and hid. Police didn't bother searching for her because it had been several months at this point, and they presumed that she was most likely dead. In 1931, a gold prospector by the name of Phil Powers made his way into the Nahanni Valley in search of gold. His cabin was found burnt with his body inside. His body was intact, but the weird thing was, it was determined that the fire had started from the roof, so there was no good reason why Phil couldn't have made it out uninjured. People believe that he was killed before the fire was set. Police said probably not and didn't investigate any further. In 1936, two more prospectors headed into the valley. Their cabin was found burnt, and their bodies were never recovered. In 1945, a gold prospector by the name of Ernest Savard made his way into the valley in search of gold. When he didn't come back out, his friends went to find him. What they found was his body in a sleeping bag on the riverbank, missing a head. Police investigated, determined he likely starved to death, and animals made off with his head. In 1946, gold prospector John Patterson goes into the valley and doesn't come out. A search party goes in to find John, and they set up camp. That first night, a group of tribespeople walked into the camp and warned the search party of tall white figures lurking in the woods. They claimed that these were forces of evil and that nobody should be in these woods. This freaked the search party out, and all night they heard strange wailing and screams coming from the trees around them. They never recovered their friend. So what is it with this valley? Why are people going missing? Why are people being decapitated? Why don't the police seem interested in investigating these mysterious happenings? Stick around as myself, Jesse, and Rob discuss the crimes and curiosities of the Valley of the Headless Men. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Hometown Ghost Stories, Dark Mysteries. I am Dave Wilkins. I am joined by Jesse Wilkins.
What's up?
And by Rob Coakley.
I like that this isn't really a dark mystery. This is just a tale of police negligence.
It really is. After the third or fourth time, they're like, he starved to death and a bear walked off with his head. It's like, dude, they don't feel like it.
You've never starved so hard that your head fell off. Do you even starve, bro?
And the squirrels set the hut on fire.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that guy was just happened to be reaching for his rifle.
He was so hungry.
What absolute lazy police work, and who knows? This story could go so many different directions with what could possibly be going on up there. It could be true crime. It could be something supernatural. It could be the police covering something up. Who knows? It could be so many things, but we don't know. And this place is so sparsely populated. It's just it's so expansive that there's no population. There's basically nobody out there. And nobody even really goes out there for gold anymore. Basically, the 40s was kind of the end of this valley for people and prospectors going up there looking for gold.
I wonder why. I wonder why they stopped going up there.
Yeah, this is absolutely insane. And it really is just borderline frustrating every time you hear the police say they probably stop. Because that's the furthest from the truth. Like, what? Maybe some of them. But the guys that are missing heads, I don't think starved to death. And I think that the possibility of an animal just walking off with their head is unlikely, right? If they were
maybe one, right? Like,
I don't think so. Like, were other parts of the body eaten? Because no. I don't think that they're going to pick the least meatiest, besides Rob, like the least meatiest part of the body,
right? I don't think it makes, like, for instance, take the guy in the sleeping bag, right? He was in a sleeping bag on the riverbank, missing a head, and he wasn't there that long. The first two guys were there 2 years before they were found, so they could have been decomposed, so who knows what happened to them. Maybe they were eaten, but the reaching for the rifle detail I find kind of compelling. But the guy in the sleeping bag by the riverbank was just missing his head. If he was attacked by something that could rip his head off, like a bear, pretty much I think that's a bear and that's it, right? Maybe wolves. They're not stopping there. They're like, well, it's covered in a sleeping bag, though. Do you feel like ripping that? Nah, we're cool with the head. We'll just take his head and go.
What did they call the big frogs?
Monstrous fellows.
Could have been some monstrous fellows. You never know.
It could have been some monstrous fellows.
Just ripping his head right from his sleeping, stupid body.
Just a Mortal Kombat tongue situation where it takes the head off the body.
Yeah. But you know what I mean with the sleeping bag? What animal that's ripping somebody's head off is going to stop? Because there's a sleeping bag covering them.
Oh, this will do. Like, I don't see anything else. So I'm just going to get the head.
Where's all this blood coming from?
It was the moose covering their tracks. The moose army was like, all right, just throw the sleeping bag over this dude.
But it's too many. It happened too many different occasions, right? They weren't all beheadings, but there was enough beheadings and burned houses and burned bodies for you to say this is probably too much of a coincidence. And the police, this didn't happen over like hundreds of years. This was 1904 to 1946, basically. So that's not that long. That's, you know, that could be one long career. Could have been one cop. But
I think it's pretty clear that if they're going out there to find gold, somebody is killing people and taking their gold and cutting off their heads. It's pretty obvious to me anyways. And then they're probably just tipping off the police officers. Be like, yeah, it's not the serial killer who keeps cutting people's heads off in the woods and stealing their gold. They got to be starving to death.
Oh, I bet that I want to hear that conversation. I'd like to be a fly on the wall. But like, look, thanks for the gold. Can you stop cutting their heads off? Because he's going to make this job a lot easier. People aren't buying it, dude. Please stop cutting their heads off.
maybe poke their stomach a little bit. You know, make them think that they were trying to eat like the real parts that an animal would eat.
Or just don't cut their heads off. Would eat them after, because I could blame that on animals.
Could you take a few bites maybe out of his chest and forearms? If you do that, then it's going to be a lot easier to say that this was an animal attack.
Yeah. Jesse, I think that probably is the most obvious theory, or at least the second most obvious theory. The first most obvious theory would be Sasquatch.
That's a good one. With the thing we're going to talk about in a little bit, I went with Wendigo. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a Wendigo more than anything to me.
Maybe that's they were the first too. People to get like good pictures of Bigfoot. And Bigfoot's like, not happening on my watch. Not on my squatch. You guys like that joke. I like that joke. We all like that joke. It's staying in.
Yeah. So there's different possibilities. And I actually do like the Wendigo one because we have the beheadings. That's one thing, right? Beheadings mm-hmm. where the gold is going missing. But then there's other weird shit going on completely separate from the beheadings that seem to be not related at all. We got the guy that froze to death just hanging out by his fire. That's kind of weird because he made no attempt to warm. Well, I mean, unless the fire was the attempt to warm up, but it wasn't like,
I'm going to put that in the top three reasons he built it.
Well, he's in Northern Canada. And so it's going to be cold up there anyways. Right. So he had a fire, but like, in order for him to freeze to death in that position,
really knows why the fire was there.
Maybe he's in a fucking parka, like by a fire. Dave's like,
what are you, Dave? One of the cops? There's no evidence he was trying to warm up here. He starved to death.
All right. I meant like he wasn't found in like a position where he was like huddled up trying to like survive a flash freeze or whatever. He was just hanging out by the fire, kind of hunched over, dead. So maybe it was a heart attack. I'm going to guess the medical examiner up there at that time probably wasn't stellar.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, this sounds like a death that isn't connected to the other ones. Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't beheaded.
He was not beheaded.
Was he prospecting?
He was prospecting, yes.
Maybe. So maybe he didn't have gold.
Yeah.
Maybe the killer, I don't think the killer showed up at all. I think this death is just, he froze to death because he didn't build a big enough fire. Or or because he built a fire and wasn't trying to warm up by it.
Right.
Big flaw.
Yep. Big hole in that story. Not buying it. The other one is the hunting party where the lady went missing and was found acting real weird. At least they think it was her. The guy Charlie said it sounds like her. It was around the same time he heard the hunting party partying by the fire. He knew they were there. And when he heard about the missing woman, he's like, oh shit, that might be that crazy lady I saw. There's no good reason for somebody to be behaving like that. And if it was her, it happened fast because she went missing and then immediately just started behaving like that. So he said she looked like she was possessed. He said there was something.
Maybe she took hunting party the wrong way and just took a bunch of PCP or something. I don't know, because that is some wacky behavior. My first thought is drugs, but I don't even know what would cause you to gallop through the woods naked and just start slapping rocks into the lake and the river and stuff. That is some of the most bizarre behavior I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I don't know that. So maybe I read it weird, but I don't know if she was intentionally slapping rocks into the river. It sounded like she was just climbing up a rocky hill and they were getting knocked into the river.
I'm either way, to say it's not important, and whatever she's doing was sad behavior.
Yeah.
Have you so ever tried marijuana, Jesse?
Yeah. She's definitely.
I did, but all of a sudden I was naked in the woods.
slapping rocks
into a river. And people are like, hey, it's okay if you do this, but don't start slapping rocks into the river. That's weird behavior. I was like, I'm sorry.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
That's what I said.
I got a guy who makes edibles that I know, and he said he makes these like big 100-milligram edibles of like caramel. And he's like, I took the whole caramel one night, and then we're just in New York, and I ended up naked in the river.
Oh shit! So you can't even rule out weed. Rob was joking, but now we got to take it seriously.
Well, these are 2024 grade edibles. I don't think they had that back in the 20s or whenever this was, 1926.
Yes, it was. So years before Naked and Afraid starts, so we can rule that out.
Yeah. Yeah,
they also don't typically send people to cold locations on Naked and Afraid because they'll just die. Because there's no way they're going to build a fire and warm up by it or something crazy like that, right?
Weird thing about this area is there is part of it where, obviously not where the guy froze to death, but there is a section where there's a bunch of hot springs and it stays warm year round, even like way up north, like by Alaska, basically. It's pretty weird.
That is strange. My favorite part of the story was one of the guys that got his head severed. His last name was like Severed.
Yeah.
Surprise, and you're reading that, I'm like, there's no way he doesn't get his head chopped off in this story. It was fate. Destiny is all.
But before we move too far off this this crazy lady, it could be, so yeah, I think one of two things. Either one, she ate some funky mushrooms that she found, or two, possessed by whatever Wendigo creature is out there. I don't know if that's how Wendigos act. I don't know if they possess people, but they believe the tribes that are indigenous to this area believe that there are ancient evil spirits that haunt the area. So who knows? It could have been some sort of strange possession. But either way,
they never found her. Because, the other cases don't strike me as something paranormal. Obviously, bad things can happen and drive people to do evil things in evil locations. I think you see that a lot in like the Freetown State Forest and other locations, the forest in Japan as well, where it's just for some reason, certain areas attract dark behavior. Mm-hmm. And this could be one of them. But I think most of these cases sounds like a clear shot case of a serial killer. But I would like to dive into the Wendigo stuff. Rob, do you have that information?
Yeah. So in some cultures, there are different reasons for people to actually turn into Wendigos. Some say that too much greed could do it. Some say after indulging in cannibalism could cause somebody to become a Wendigo.
And that's interesting there, because I've heard that people who do engage in cannibalism, there actually is a scientific reason why they go kind of insane. And that's that the human meat contains some sort of chemical that obviously doesn't compute with the human brain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for people who don't know what a Wendigo is, a Wendigo, or a Windigo, also pronounced, is a supernatural being belonging to the spiritual traditions of the Algonquin speaking First Nations in North America. So you're in that region anyways. Wendigos are described as powerful monsters that have a desire to kill and eat their victims, not just their heads. So maybe not, but in most legends, humans transform into Wendigos because of their greed or weakness. So that kind of lines up with searching for gold too, right? Maybe that's right. considered a greedy thing. I mean, for me, it's if you know there's gold somewhere, nothing wrong with going to go look for it and trying to be the first one to find it. But it could play a role here if you believe in this sort of thing.
Well, it's also, if it is some sort of ancient being, entity that's from that area, if it's some sort of elemental spirit or something like that, you're taking something from the ground, if it's sacred ground, and you're trying to leave with it. So maybe it's protecting that resource that's part of its natural habitat. Anyone who takes gold from there takes their head.
That's true.
Which kind of goes into some of our past
cursed possession
episodes, right? Where you go to a certain mountain, you can't take the rocks or you can't take this or that from certain places. This lines up. We just haven't established that yet, right? Where it's, this is the region you can't take gold from or they come and kill you. So it does line up.
I wonder when that scumbag from eBay is going to get hunted down by a Wendigo when he goes apart. He goes around and rips apart and steals things from haunted locations. Like, it's got to catch up with you eventually, buddy. You're going to be in a sleeping bag with no head, forgetting to get warm by a fire, aren't you?
A lot going on up there.
Wendigos are pretty terrifying creatures. If you do like a quick Google image search of these things, they're described as having long limbs. They have long, sharp claws and teeth, and their eyes are said to be sunken in and glowing red. They were also said to have a long tongue that they use to lick their victims' flesh, and they can shapeshift into another animal and human forms. Why would you need such a long tongue to lick the victim's flesh? Such a creepy detail of these things. So
have to bend over. They're very tall.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why you guys listen, to get this information. But
the Wendigos make more sense than the police force in Canada. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more logic there than whatever they were going off of. I wonder if it was that one cop, just one guy.
There had to have been somebody there, like taking notes, maybe a journalist or something, or like just, you know, some guy that's training and he's doing a, you know, tag along with the veteran policeman, and they just walk up to this headless corpse, like, starved to death. Yeah. Starved to death. And the guy goes, seriously? Seriously? Really? Okay. That's what we're doing? Okay.
Yeah. Starved to death. And then the old police guy goes, you want to hang around and investigate? Nope.
Nope. Starved to death. Yeah.
Starved to death. Sounds good.
Yeah. Starved his head off.
Well, we got four people here that were beheaded, right? And we, you know, out of how many that went missing or died in other mysterious ways, a lot of them did go missing. So those also could have been beheadings as well. They just never recovered the body. So
possibly
it could be a much bigger thing. I mean, I think four beheadings in, you know, 30, 40 years is a lot, especially when you're talking about an area that has a population of like 50,000 and it's like the size of three Europes. So
I wouldn't be surprised. We're all on the same page, right? Serial killer. Like, no, I'm not saying that, but if you have, there's got to be a guy who was just chilling. He probably had his little hut in the woods. I would imagine. I like to imagine those things. He's probably hanging out there in his little cabin and he's just waiting to hear these prospectors start cheering and partying and running around naked because they found gold. And he's like, all right, boom, there's my next victim. So he waits for them to celebrate and just goes and waits till they're sleeping or conveniently far from the fire and cuts off their heads and takes their gold. That had to have been it. He's just scouting out these people, waiting for them to do the dirty work of finding the gold and killing them because you're in the middle of the woods.
You're so pragmatic.
I mean, fair, but then we got to think about the point that Dave brought up with how vast this area is and how far apart. Like, I think you said one of them was 70 miles
away.
70 miles away with no transportation up there in the snow and the elements is very difficult for anyone to track somebody down.
That's
right?
A good point.
So I don't rule it out, but if this guy is a tracker, he was probably the greatest tracker of all time at this point.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw it out there. Snowmobile was invented in 1922.
Yeah, that covers about half the time. Yep. Sure. Maybe he was the first owner of a snowmobile.
Yeah, the very first one.
Maybe he invented it.
Where was it snowmobile invented? Minnesota, pretty close to Canada.
Yeah. It is not. It's not close to this part of Canada, but it is close to Canada.
It is if you have a snowmobile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cruising. Nothing's going to slow you down.
Who knows? This is so bizarre and alarming and never been solved. And people just don't go up there anymore.
So until now, it was a snowmobile in Windigo.
I hope so.
Yeah, you put a Windigo on a snowmobile, you don't stand a chance, dude. What you got?
Still makes more sense than these people starving to death.
Absolutely, yeah.
So. It does. That's the weakest of all the theories. Although it's not uncommon to go up there and starve to death either, because if you are unprepared, if you're not used to the climate and used to that, you're not close to anything. Nothing. And it's not that easy to find food up there. Most of the animals that if you were going to hunt could kill you. So you're not going to go hunting grizzly bears or moose unless you have a huge gun. But it's starving to death is a pretty common thing, which is, I think, why the police are so quick to say, I probably starved to death, because in a lot of cases they probably did.
Well, but I do have some breaking news here. I actually have a crime scene photo that has never been seen before. So I'll go ahead and put this on the screen.
Oh, shit.
So that is a snowmobiling Wendigo. And never before seen, this is breaking news here on Hometown Ghost Stories. For those of you audio listeners, you can swing on over to Discord and we will post a picture of this terrifying crime scene photograph from 1935.
The color on it is amazing for that time period, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And the craftsmanship on that snowmobile.
Yeah. State of the art.
They were real. Yeah. Well, this isn't the 1922 model. Like I said, this is a few years later, obviously.
Definitely
there's been some improvements.
1930s. Yep. I swear. It all checks out, actually. Yeah.
Everything checks out except the fact that it was a color photo. Everything else makes sense.
Everything else checks out except for the fact that he starved to death. Dave, you know they've colorized World War II footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
Mm-hmm. And they've also colorized this footage of this Wendigo on a snowmobile.
Yep. I was kidding when I said that was the most unbelievable part of the fucking Wendigo on a snowmobile.
the most unbelievable part is still the fact that the police department were ruling this starvation.
It really did get comical towards the end there.
Yeah.
But yeah, couldn't stop laughing as we were listening to the story. Like, dude, what are we doing here?
Insane. But that's the hauntings and murders and decapitations of the Valley of the Headless Men. Very disturbing stuff.
It is. We make light of these stories, but it's actually pretty terrifying. It's pretty terrifying that it was never solved. Obviously, whoever the killer is, if it's a person and not a creature or something, they're not a threat anymore. But it's scary, man. Those jobs, I don't know how people do them, especially up in Canada in those snowy forests, just survivalist stuff. And you finally find gold and somebody comes around and waits for you to starve to death to cut your head off.
Well, the serial killer thing, the patience
of that killer to stand around and wait for you to starve to death is unbelievable.
I'm going to wait for you to burn through all your food.
He'll stop eating soon.
He's bound to run out any day now, right?
I'm going to do another loop on the snowmobile. Just a quick 70-mile loop, make sure nobody entered the other side.
That was the wailing sound that they heard. That's what is that wailing?
They don't know how to describe it. They've never seen a snowmobile before. Unbelievable.
What did
stuff.
It sound like?
That guy's really complaining.
Oh, my God. Too soon.
But to go into the serial killer aspect just a little bit more, to lay a little more credence to it, there's a lot of arson in this story as well. Mm. And if you go back to some of the other serial killers that we've covered, Villisca, when he was able to, he would burn down his crime scene. And sort of seems like that was happening here on a few instances as well. So it does lay credence to that theory more so as well.
That's going to do it anyways for this episode of Hometown Ghost Stories, Dark Mysteries. Drop a comment, let us know what you think and what you'd like us to cover next time. Till next time, I'm Dave, that's Rob, that's Jesse. Peace.